Let's come back to the outline. Take care of the last point here, point number five. Life grows and it transforms you. God is a God of life. Everything he did is living and is for life. Look at this earth, this planet is wonderful. You have the light, you have the atmosphere, you have the earth. And so whatever God did in the first 3 days is just preparation for all kinds of life to grow in this planet. This is a wonderful planet. You have all kinds of life, living things. You have birds flying, all kinds of birds, so many different kinds, amazing. And then all kinds of fish in the sea. I don't even know how many kinds there are, because there's so many, big and small. Some are for eating, some are for pets, right? You have fish at home, and then all kinds of animals on this earth. And most of all, human beings, the highest form of life on the earth. This is God's plan. Really, you have to realize that God is great, the Almighty God. He is everything. He is a great I Am. His name is I Am. So what is he? He is whatever you need. He is the I Am. So whatever you need, he is. A wonderful God. There's so many names of God in the Old Testament. Every time Abraham or God's people experience something of God, they call him another name. It's a wonderful, wonderful God. Even in the book of Revelation, the Lord is going to write his new name on our foreheads. New name. Do you know what is this name? Karina, what is the name of Jesus? New? Well, what is his new name? Depends on your experience with Christ. Because he's so rich. Unsearchable riches of Christ. So he said, I will write my new name on your forehead. It's very important to continuously experience this with Christ. We just sang a song. Who called that song with 15 verses concerning Christ? You did, oh, wonderful. But how come there are 15 verses? Because Christ is so rich, right? In every verse, you can see so many aspects of Christ. But even 15 verses is not enough. Okay, you should add another 15. For now. So you should really realize God is so wonderful. And the most wonderful creation of God is man. Man is created in a very special way. Very, very special. Especially it says in the likeness and in image of God. This is why man is so capable, really capable. Except one thing man cannot do without God, and that is to build up this heavenly city, Jerusalem, Zion, his church. Right? The church is not just church, what you think, right? Or the cathedral. No. It is built up with living stones. Now let's read it again about that. 1 Peter chapter 2. Right? No. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Amazing. Okay. 1 Peter 2, verse 5. Even the Lord himself is called a living stone. Verse 4, coming to him as to a living stone. Have you ever come to the Lord as to a living stone? You come to him as a savior, right? How about you, Benson? Have you ever called him, oh, living stone? No? Why not? It's because we lack the concept of the Lord's plan and purpose. His coming is not just to be a savior to save you, but his coming as a living stone to build up God's house. God's house is not built up of stones like the temple in the Old Testament time. But you also are a living stone. If you're not alive, if you don't have this eternal life within you, and I don't also, then what are we building? We're not building something that is alive. We're building a man's organization, traditional so-called church. So people say, I'm going to church. That is somewhere there on the corner of the street with a ding-dong, the bell, and a cross on top. That's the church. So every Sunday you go there. Is that the church? Is it living alive? Is it alive? Rowena. You see so many of them. The only thing that makes sounds there is the bell. Wakes up everybody. But we are the living stones. This is why Christ came, not just to save you, but to build the living house of God. He himself is the living stone. Coming to him as to a living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious. Why is he so precious? It's not because he's a savior. God doesn't need salvation. For you, he's precious because he saves you, right? But for God, he is precious, a precious stone for the building of the wonderful city, the holy city of God. That's why at the very end of the Bible, you don't see a cathedral. You see what? You see the holy city. Not a great city. Please cross out the word great. Babylon is great, chapter 17. But the translation is wrong there. It's not the great city, but holy city. You want to be holy, you cannot be great. If you want to be great, you cannot be holy. Right? You cannot have both. So Babylon the Great, that's in Revelation 17. But Jerusalem is the holy city. So what do you prefer, great or holy? Really, is it easy to be holy? No, JC, right? It's hard to be holy, but it's very easy to be great. And everybody wants to be great, but nobody wants to be holy. It's not easy to be holy, to be pure and holy. So you cannot be holy if you're not a living stone. Rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also are living stones. Are you a living stone, Karina? Or just a dead stone there, a statue? No, the Lord says you're a living stone. We are all living stones because we have the life of Christ within us. That eternal life that we're talking about in 1 John makes you a living stone. If you don't have that life, you'll be like what Paul wrote in chapter 2 of Ephesians, dead in sin and trespasses. So you're a dead stone. A tombstone. Would I like to be a tombstone? No, nobody wants. Yeah. So you also, as living stones, are being built up a cathedral now, a spiritual house. Because life is in your spirit. It is spiritual. It is not physical. It is not made of wood and stubble and whatever, right? But a living stone, build up a spiritual house. So the house of the Lord is spiritual, not fleshly. A spiritual house, just like what Paul wrote, right? A holy temple in the Lord, and it grows. It is a growing house. Does your house grow in Corinthians, where you live? Yeah, it grows old. Well, it didn't grow old, it turned old, right? It turns old. So this is a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. So you should realize the church, according to the Bible, is not only a spiritual house for God's dwelling, but a holy priesthood. I wonder why so many people are against priesthood, right? In Clarion, isn't it? Why are they against you? Because you're practicing the priesthood. They don't like it. I don't know why. It's because they are not a spiritual house. Right? They're not a holy priesthood. So a holy priesthood to offer up what? Offer up, really? To offer up songs, prayers, and works, or what? What does it say here? To offer up spiritual sacrifices. Acceptable to God. It may not be acceptable to men because men were rejected. Even when the Lord came, they rejected God. They rejected the Lord Jesus. So don't worry if people reject you, okay? In Clarion, you should say, praise the Lord. We're the same as the Lord, rejected. It's not good if people welcomed you, okay? Acceptable to God, and that's good enough if God accepts it. I don't care if people accept it or not. Do you? Are you there to please people? Are you there to please God? Please God. So don't worry if people are against it. They did that to the Lord Jesus when he was on this earth. You think Jesus was popular? No, he wasn't. He was the most unpopular person when he was on this earth. How about you, Brother Choi? You want to be popular or you want to be normal, right? Better just be normal. It's good enough. Right? So, acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ is acceptable to God. We are not acceptable. We have done so many things offending him, fleshly. So anything you bring to God must be through Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son, Lord declared, Father declared, in whom I am well pleased. Did he say that to anybody else? No. This is why Paul, he says, it's not I, but Christ. Remember this. He said, I did many things, much more than the other apostles, yet not I, but the grace of God in me. And who is that grace? The Lord Jesus. He came full of grace, full of truth. So if you did something for God, you serve God, you think you did a good job, but if it is you doing it, sorry, God will say, that's no good. I won't accept it. Who are you? He would ask. Look, there are so many works done among Christians today. So many. I'm not trying to criticize them. No, they have to be responsible before God. But if we do a lot of works for Him, but not through Christ, that work is not acceptable. You young people have to remember that. If it is you doing it, you'll be so proud. Hallelujah. Look at me. We'll all be proud. That's the first thing that God dislikes, to say the least. He hates. Pride comes before fall. If you do it through Christ, there's nothing to be proud about. So don't say thank you to man, you say thank you to the Lord. You learn that because everything comes from Him. Right? Whatever you heard today, where is it from? Grace, my dear sister. Don't say it's from my brother. No, it's wrong. You will offend me if you say it's from my brother. No. And you will offend the Lord. Because everything comes from Him. Right. Everything comes from Him. I'm just reading you what the Bible says. Then it says, therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone. Elect and precious. Who is this cornerstone? It's Christ. A cornerstone means everything in God's building must be exactly according to the cornerstone there. Otherwise, it's going to be crooked. Not according to any man. I don't care how gifted he is. No, man cannot build God's house. Remember what Abraham was looking for, a city with foundation whose builder and architect is God, not your design. Don't build the church the way you like it. Sorry, it's not your house. Right? Suppose I go to my sister's house and rearrange everything and repaint everything. Would you like that? You're going to kick me out, although I'm your brother. You're going to kick me out. But if I go to your house, Karina, definitely you won't be happy. So Christ is the chief cornerstone. He's the chief. And he's the cornerstone. So, right, let's continue. Excuse me. Oops. This computer has a mind of its own. Okay, I got it. Chapter 2. Back to chapter 2. Yep. And he who believes on him shall by no means be put to shame. Wonderful. If you do everything through him, you will not be put to shame. When the Lord comes back, you will receive a reward. Right. But it says, to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected, which is Christ, rejected by men, right, has become the chief cornerstone. But then, to them, it is a stone of stumbling. That's why when you talk about a priesthood, they got stumbled, right? You know what stumbled means? If some stone was in front of you and you didn't watch carefully where you go and you got stumbled, so be careful when you go out the staircase. If you stumble, you might hurt your head. So to those who do not believe, even Christians, they believe part of it, the other part they don't believe. And if you tell them the truth, they got mad, they got stumbled, and they will persecute you. They will throw you out. Right? You experience that, right? A rock of offense. The stumble being obedient to the word to which they also were appointed. So when you read the word, don't use your own mind to try to understand. And then you ended up misunderstanding. And when people come to tell you the truth, you get mad. No, that's not true. I don't believe it. And you stumble. This is why in 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter warned us, the first thing you have to take care of when you read the word of the prophecy in the Bible is not to have your private interpretation. Yeah. If you do, somebody comes and tells you the truth, you say, no, I don't believe that. That's wrong. Also, it's written very clearly because you have your own interpretation. Don't think knowing the Bible is good enough. The Lord told the Jews, even the Pharisees who are expert in the scriptures, the scribes, he said, you search the scriptures. And the scriptures talk about me, but you will not come to me to get life. Because life is not in the written letter. Life is the living person of Christ. Right? You may remember somebody in a nice photo. Oh, we're taking a lot of photos instead. Too many. Right? But it's not alive. Oh, you may say, oh, that's Jonah. Yeah, that's Jonah. No, you should tell them. No, that's a piece of paper. That's not you. I am Jonah. You want to know Jonah? You come to him. Don't go to a photo of Jonah. Oh, that's Jonah. Is that Jonah? Tell your wife. That's me, okay? And you just left your wife a photo and you go away somewhere else. Your wife will say, no, that's not Jonah. You are Jonah. You're the living Jonah. Even if you know the Bible, that doesn't mean you know the living person of Christ. You need to have fellowship with him, communicate with him, and he needs to speak to you. He's living. But you, he said, you are a chosen generation, praise the Lord, a royal priesthood, kingly, royal, a holy nation, church. As a nation, a kingdom, a holy one, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the church is something very, very different than what you can see today. Right. That's not a church. Whatever it is, I don't know what it is. But one thing I know, that's not the church. Amen. So because it is living, God expects the church to grow in life. You have children, and you expect your children to grow in life. Not to remain the same, right? I saw some children, some babies there. You want to have a baby all the time like that? No, you want a baby to grow. You want a baby to mature, to be someone that is useful, right? Not just to grow without a goal. A dog didn't have a goal. I have never seen a dog with a goal. But every human being has a goal because you're created that way. And so the more we grow, how do you know you're growing? Oh, you should know. Are you growing? Have you grown? Yeah. How do you know? It's a foolish question to ask. How do you know, right? The more you grow, yes, there is a way you can find out. you will be more like him. You'll be more like him. If your spiritual life is growing, you will be like Christ. Now let's read, since we're talking about it now, because the church is something alive, let's go to 1 John now, chapter 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. It's wonderful. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it does not know him. Beloved, we are now the children of God. But, there is a but, and yet, it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, because you still don't look like him. We still have the flesh. Our fallen nature is still with us. We are still not like him. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's very normal and important for a Christian to have a desire to be like him. Yeah. And it's very normal for a parent to see that a child is growing up to be like them, right? It's normal. God's desire is to have many children like him, like the firstborn Son of God, Jesus Christ. He wants us to be conformed to his image. The problem is because we still have the fallen flesh and the self, the ego is still there. We are born only in our spirit, born of God. But your flesh is not born of God. Your soul, still the fallen self, it needs to be transformed. So you're born of God in your spirit, because the Holy Spirit comes into our spirit, not into your soul yet. That's why we have so many problems with our soul. Right? Quarrel with each other, different views. I don't like this, but you like it. Right? We have different habits, we have different likes and dislikes. The church, therefore, has a lot of trouble. Right? Even husband and wife, are you exactly like your wife? And she is exactly like you? So how are you going to get together? Difficult. Right? But through Christ transforming us. Transforming us. That's the only wonderful thing. And this is why John says, that which is born of God cannot sin. And people say, how come I'm born of God, I still sin? It's because only your spirit is born of God. If you do not walk according to the spirit, you will do a lot of things that are not good. So Paul says, walk according to the spirit, because the flesh is always fighting contrary to the spirit. And then yourself too. So there is a need of the process of transformation in the Bible. Transformation in the Bible. In Romans chapter 8, for example, right? The Lord not only saved us, but he wants to conform us to the image of the firstborn Son of God. Yeah. And it takes time. And let us continue. Take a look at 2 Corinthians for some of the young people. It's good. So it's 2 Corinthians chapter 3. At the end, verse 18. Well, let's start with verse 16. Okay, let's start with verse 16. Nevertheless, When one turns to the Lord, so you always have to turn to the Lord. Your heart must turn to the Lord many times a day. The veil is taken away. The veil. There's a veil covering your heart. And this is your fallen nature is like a veil. That's why many people, when they read the Bible, they don't understand because the heart is a veil. So if your heart is turned to the Lord, a veil will be taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, that means freedom to take the veil away. Satan is the God of this world in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that blinded the eyes of those who believe it not. There's a veil, right? There's a veil, which perhaps you don't realize. That's why many, when they try to read the Bible, they say, I don't know the Bible. I don't understand. How come you read so many books and you understand, except this book you don't understand? Because the God of this world has blinded the eyes. And this is the veil that he's talking about. So you should turn your heart to the Lord. Lord, take the veil away from me. I want to see you. Because only if you see him, you will become like him. You don't see him, you will not be attracted to him, right? So here, let us read continuously. Now the Lord is the Spirit indwelling in you, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, freedom. The veil will be taken away. But we all today, we all in Zion, in the church, his church, we all with unveiled face beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So, when the veil is taken away and reading the word, you're beholding the Lord, then the Holy Spirit will transform you into the same image that you have seen and you're beholding. You're like a mirror. When you look into the mirror, what do you see? You see yourself, right? And you're reflecting yourself. So we're like a mirror facing the Lord, right? It's just like a camera. You're taking a camera, click, all of a sudden, Charlie enter into the camera. The image of Charlie is all of a sudden in your camera. You are a living camera. The first one who invented a camera is not Kodak, it's not Leica, no, right? It is God. He really created a living camera. So be careful what you see, okay? Be careful what you see, because see something, oh, I like it, and it turns into you, and then even when you're sleeping, you're dreaming about what you see. And the next thing you know, you're going to work so hard to get it. So be careful what you see, and be careful what you hear. Don't hear gossip. Hear the truth. There's a tape recorder here. And you got an unlimited gigabyte in your memory. You know, whatever man did, it's just a copy of what God did. God has created. Right? This is why I don't like to hear gossip. I'm not a trash can. Are you? What do you throw in the trash can? Trash. People say talk trash. You like to talk trash? If I tell this brother something about his brother here, Marcus. Do you know Marcus? I don't like him.
It's your problem.
But no, I'm telling you something that you also need to know. Okay, he would say, okay, what is it? After I told him something about him, then he will begin to have an opinion about this brother. And at the end, there will be a conflict there. No, don't gossip and don't hear illicit gossip, because whatever you hear will get into you and it's going to affect you. And whatever you see is also going to affect you. And then you have a loudspeaker. So what I enter into you, whether you like it or not, it's going to come out of your loudspeaker. Am I right? So whatever gossip you hear, I tell you, it's so hard to zip your mouth. Something is boiling in you, and you cannot stop it until you tell the one sitting next to you about Benson. Then all three of you will have problems. This will happen if you're not growing in life. So don't just listen to anything. We need to have a discernment to see the right thing, to know what the spirit wants to see, what you should be seeing. The best way to be transformed is to behold him with unveiled face. Then the more you behold him, the more you'll be transformed into his likeness. This is why John wrote that today we are not like him yet, because you don't really see him so clearly. This is why Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, today we only know in part. But when he comes, we see him as he is, then we will be fully like him. But it doesn't mean that you don't see him at all today, but you have to see him in the Word. And ask the Lord to enlighten the eyes of your heart. And you are like a mirror. Remember, God made the best lens. Once upon a time in an airport, it was late because the plane was very late, and there was a student sitting there having a camera, right? It was in Hong Kong, at the airport. So I told him, do you know who invented the first camera? Where did human ideas get the idea of making lenses? Right? Your lens is the best one. It's autofocus. If you're in the light, you immediately your eyes. You don't have to click, 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 and then to try to adjust. If you go into the dark immediately, your eyes, your lens, your retina, your whole eyes, they adjust automatically. Can you imagine? You have to adjust by your mind. Okay, I need to adjust now. And then that's too much. That's too little. Yes. But this camera is so wonderful. So you need to see. You are a living, wonderful recorder. Don't just watch anything. Young people, don't. So many things that the enemy has prepared than to stir up the lust that is in your flesh. So we need to be careful. And this is why he says here in John, let me go back to 1 John chapter 3. So very quick. Oh, time is up. your food will be cold. Yeah. So, do you like to be like him? Do you wish to be like him? And this is the first question you have to ask yourself, right? Verse 2. We shall be like him, but we shall see him as he is. And today you can already start to see him through the word and by the spirit within you, right? And everyone who has this hope in him, praise the Lord. Marcos, you have this hope? Amen. Praise the Lord. We should have this hope in him. What do you need to do? You should purify yourself. If you see anything that is impure in your heart, get rid of it right away. This is why we are celebrating the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. What do you do? What did God say? How to keep the Feast of the Unleavened Bread? You should get rid of all the leaven that is in your house. Anything that is hidden in your house, you should get it away. Take it away. You're not allowed to see and taste any leaven for 7 days, keeping the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And the Chinese is even better. The Feast of Purging Out the Leaven. So, do you have that habit every day? If you see dirt on the floor, what do? Just leave it there. In your house, no. I know the Germans are very clean. They see something, gotta have it. I walked by and I saw something on the floor. I picked it up and gave it to people. It is a habit. It is a habit. Do you have a habit when you discover something that is leaven in you and it, and don't think leaven is okay, there's a little bit leaven, but this leaven, one thing terrible about this leaven or good about this leaven, it depends on what you use it for, right? It grows. Just a little bit in you, don't say, oh, it's just a little bit, I'll just leave it there. Tomorrow that little bit becomes a big bit. Pretty soon it's going to fill your whole house, your whole heart. This is the trouble with leaven. So if you don't purge it out right away, the earlier, the faster, the better, it's going to grow. So everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. To be like him is not just the outward expression here, but firstly inside, to be pure. To be pure. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And you know that he, Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him there is no sin. How wonderful. Whoever abides in him does not sin. And whoever sins neither has seen him nor known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. There's a great deceiver running around all the time. He who practices righteousness is righteous just as he is righteous. And in chapter 2 of 1 John, walk as he walked. This is to be like him. It doesn't happen overnight. And you have to eat him to grow, and then you'll be transformed. You'll be changed. If you never notice any change in your Christian life, you're not growing. Growth always brings changes. I don't care what kind of life, even a plant, if it grows, you know it grows. And then at the end, it brings forth fruits. any kind of living thing grow. Only if it is dead, that's it. Stops growing. But as long as it is alive in you, you need to change. I've seen so many Christians never change. Really, and that is sad. We can talk about life and never change. Right. How did you grow that big? Well, look, did you grow? Were you born this big? No. Impossible, right? How long did it take for you to grow this tall? Must be at least 20 years, 15 to 20 years. It takes time. So you better redeem the time to grow. Don't say tomorrow. Mañana, mañana, right? That's a bad habit. Not tomorrow, today. Now is the time. Now is the time. Don't wait. Redeem the time. Eat the word. Come to the Lord. Behold him. And behold his glory. Remember, you're like a mirror. Amen. You're a wonderful camera, all of you. So forget about that camera. You are the camera. Right? So let us sing that hymn, Oh, to be like him. How about that? You like that song? Okay. Then after that, you can go home. Amen. I really thank you all for your patience. Coming here, hope you all enjoy the fellowship and receive much truth that we may grow and prepare ourselves for the Lord's coming. Okay? Amen.